Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
601, good morning, Chad, Joe, and Lowe. Wednesday edition. Boy, a rough night for Mad Bum and the newly acquired Will Smith in Philly last night. Javier Lopez is going to join us live from Philadelphia at 8:30.
Been trying to tell you all about those Phillies. They're coming.
I was thinking about you last night when Mad Bum was getting rocked. I was like, dang you, Joe! In the words of Lolo, JoJo!
Bunch of guys no one's ever heard of, and then some Yahoo gets thrown out in classic Philadelphia fashion. They can't even win with class.
And we're looking forward to this. Saturday night, a big night for pound King of the Ring, Andre Ward. He will stop by at 8:15 to preview his fight with Alexander Brand. And we're going to start with the 49ers, who just completed their first practice with pads. Now, the main storyline, it continues to be Gabbert and Kaepernick, the battle for who's going to be the man under center, the number one quarterback. And in response to this battle, General Manager Trent Baalke said this to the San Jose Mercury News. Both Colin and Blaine were going to roll out the ball and give them equal opportunity. That's really up to the coaches when they get the reps, how they share reps. I don't have anything to do with that, nor do I want anything to do with that. That's Trent Baalke. And Chip Kelly said yesterday that it's not so much the practice, but also these preseason games going to be huge for both guys. So, Joe, when you hear those comments from Trent Baalke, what's the first thing that comes to mind in regards to this battle?
They're saying all the right things, but for me, this started yesterday, and now I'm starting to wonder, was I wrong before or am I wrong now? And that's in the sense that I was not anticipating this being an actual competition. I thought they were going to put on the show. There was going to be the facade that this would be a QB competition, but inevitably it was Gabbert's job, and they were just going to make it look like Kaepernick had the chance, and then from there they'd figure out what they'd do with Colin down the road. Now I'm starting to get this feeling, and I'm not sure if I'm right about it, that this might actually be a QB competition, because everything that's coming out of Santa Clara indicates that it is a full-on battle to win this job. I'm under the impression it's already been determined. They're just making it look good. Jason McIntyre from The Big Lead, they had an article. He's on that FS1 show now with Cowherd and Whitlock. They had an article on the website yesterday about how anyone could even conceive of Blaine Gabbert being the starter. And I started tweeting them back. I was like, that might be the national perspective. I go, here locally, it's a heavy, heavy lean to Blaine Gabbert. He's convinced, and this is a big perception nationally, convinced it's going to be Kaepernick. How do you leave $12 million on the bench is the argument. He's a better guy. We've seen Gabbert in Jacksonville. He's not up to the task. I made a dinner bet with him because I'm saying it's going to be Gabbert based on everything we've seen over the last few months. That's just how I felt. Now I'm wondering, am I twisted up? Lo, help me out.
I don't think you are. I think it's going to be Blaine Gabbert. I look at these two quarterbacks. I think that they're doing it. I think Chip Kelly, he's a head coach. He's just got the new job. And Baalke moved out of the way. Baalke said, hey, however they split up amount of reps each one of them get, he goes, I can't determine that. That's not my job. It's the coaches. He stepped back, which he should have. And you let coaches coach. That's what he should have did with Harbaugh. Step out of the way. You hire a coach for them to get your team ready. And now it's Chip Kelly saying the right thing. This is equal competition. He needs to say that. What would Chip Kelly, why would it behoove Chip Kelly to say Blaine Gabbert is my guy? Chip Kelly did the right thing. In OTAs, Blaine Gabbert looks good. He's a better athlete than I thought. He looks good taking reps. Right now, Blaine Gabbert, I get to see him. He's my guy right now because that's what he got to see. He handled OTAs perfectly. Now Colin Kaepernick is fully released. No restrictions. He can do everything. Now, what is he supposed to say? He said, hey, both these guys are challenging now. Here's an open opportunity for Colin to go redeem himself. Bill and Blaine is going to compete. But I think that Blaine is going to be the starter. I think that Colin will play probably during the season. But I think that this is a foregone conclusion.
They're all saying it comes down to the preseason games, which obviously it should. That's going to be the true test. And you've got four of them, like every year, so I don't even know why I needed to lead with that. August 14th, you're hosting Houston. August 20th, you're at Denver. August 26th, home against Green Bay, which is the big one, right? The third one's always the most important.
Sure. Sure.
And September 1st at San Diego, which is the least important for the starters because they're going to get rest unless you're LT and you're never going to play. You're Loneal, you're going to be playing in all of them every snap. So what would you envision? What would you envision if you're Chip Kelly right now? You can say all the right things. It's an open battle. We're going to wait for the games. But don't you think deep down he already at least has a lean? He's human after all. He's not a robot. Like, he's got to have at least a lean or a preference. You can say one thing to the media, but personally, in private, don't you feel that he's at least leaning in one direction based on what he's seen since he's been here? Isn't that just human nature?
I think so. And I think the first game we're going to get to see, because you're going to have the offense probably going to go 12 plays. Usually the first preseason game, you don't even go a quarter. Your starters don't even go a quarter. They go maybe one or two series. So we're going to interesting to see, because if it's a true competition, Blaine and get a series, Colin and get a series. And then, or it's going to say he's going to get the first quarter. Next game, Colin's going to get the next quarter, week two. So if not, if it's a true competition, like I said, each series or each quarter, the third game, both these guys play equal time, if that's what he wants to do. But he's got to get one of these guys going to have rhythm in that third game. So I think the first 2 weeks is very important for both of these young men, first 2 weeks of preseason. And that third game, you got to have Colin play one quarter, Blaine's got to play a complete quarter. You can't just go series by series, because you need your quarterback to get some type of rhythm.
Now, Lo, the big question I have goes back to what Joe said, and that of all the things that have happened over the last couple of years between Kaepernick and the team and the trade demands and the injury situation and the salary that he received, do you think that he will get a true fair shot at being the starter?
Well, I think he can now, because it's Chip Kelly. It's Chip Kelly's regime. But at the same sense, you got to realize Chip Kelly brought in is another guy who was a GM when he was in Philly. So he brought in some of his guys. So if this is truly Chip Kelly's team and he has these 4 or 5 years, then it's going to be his way. So I don't think that he can necessarily hitch his wagon to either one of these guys, because he's going to be viewed, this is supposed to be a quarterback guru, a quarterback type of guy, quarterback simple offense, a guy that offense can flourish. You've seen how well Nick Foles did it. So it's imperative right now that this guy not necessarily hitch his wagon. He'll never come out and say that I love these guys, these are going to be my starters moving forward for the rest of his tenure here. He can't do that. He should not do that, and I don't blame him. If I'm a head coach, I don't hitch my wagon to either one of these guys.
The Joe Staleys and the Navarro Bowmans of the world, the well-established veterans, guys like you later in your career that gravitas, you like to say.
Yes.
When you go into preseason game one, you might only be in for a couple series. One drive, and then it's done. Shut them down, no risk, just get him a few reps. That's how it'll be with Staley and Bowman, but that won't be how it is for the quarterbacks, right? You probably give do you envision like a quarter to Gabbert and then a quarter to Kaepernick? And then the reason I ask that, and then this is going to be the follow-up, isn't it going to be an advantage for the guy who gets under center in the first quarter in the first game, because he's going to run
with
Joe Staley and most of the ones? And then the next guy up, Kaepernick, takes over in the second quarter, he's running with
the twos,
so there's an opportunity there for Gabbert to look better with better personnel. But then the flip side of that is Kaepernick would be going up against likely a more inferior defense that he could possibly shred. Is there any way to handicap that situation?
Yeah, I think if you do it two ways. One is the first game, you say, okay, guys, offense, here's where we're going to go four series. And you let each one of those quarterbacks just take a series. So he goes a series. He gets that series. When that series is done, boom, it's next offensive series. Now Colin comes in.
You're talking about bulk of starting O. So, like, not Joe Staley, but the bulk of the guys who could use the reps, maybe they're going to play four total series. Is that what you're saying?
And
then the quarterbacks will rotate.
Right. So you got to realize if the offense in preseason, usually that first string maybe going to play one quarter game one. So that's usually going to end up to be maybe two series, maybe three at max, if it depends on how good your defense is. So with that being said, you start Blaine.
With the Niners, it could just be one series. There could be a 13-play drive for Houston and Brock Osweiler.
That's true, too.
$70 million man, Brock Osweiler, sight unseen.
That's crazy.
You know,
so it'll be interesting to see how that works. But that's how they could do it. They could just let one go one series, and then after the defense got put the other one on there, and they can still play with the one.
Tough to build
chemistry.
Momentum if you're only getting a few plays at a time. If you go three and out, the next guy up, it's like, how do you get back into it?
Yeah, and that's going to be one of the ways they have to do it. And that's why they're going to tell these guys, you better take advantage of it. You know you're going to have the opportunity to throw the ball. You're going to have an opportunity to run the ball. Take advantage of it. And then the next game, you say quarter. Then you give a guy a quarter, another guy the next quarter.
And, Joe, you talk about Chip Kelly, whether or not he has a lean. I mean, this is a guy that he obsesses about the quarterback position. Remember at Oregon, Jeremiah Masoli won him games. They didn't see eye to eye. He left. He went to Darren Thomas. Darren Thomas took him to a national title game. He found a better option in Marcus Mariota and was willing to demote him quickly. So Chip Kelly clearly probably has a lean, and he's not a guy that's afraid to go with whatever quarterback he thinks will win him games.
It's not even a Chip Kelly thing. It's a human thing. You get here, you understand your roster, you get to know people, you're going to have predispositions based on certain interactions you have with people. Gabbert's going to be in first every day, working hard, holding the little workout session down at San Jose State, doing all the things you would want from a starter.
Yeah.
Kaepernick hurt, saying the right things, but not able to participate. He knows the backstory on Kaepernick. I mean, there's probably going to be a bit of a blow to the reputation there. You know, human nature to me dictates that there's got to be a lean somewhere, and I wouldn't blame him for that. I'd be the same way.
We got more thoughts from Lowe on this quarterback battle with the 49ers, including what it's like in the locker room. What do guys say during this time, during preseason, trying to figure out who's going to be the guy? We'll get more from Lowe on that at 7:45. Well, I tell you what, the Giants season, it got turned upside down last night. We'll tell you what that means. 6:12, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
What's next for the Oakland A's after the trade deadline? Our A's insider, Susan Slusser, joins us coming up at 7:30. Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
Crawford crushes one to right field, and there's a run. Brandon Crawford way gone, and he crushes one. Right field. Game tied.
Driven to left and deep. Pagan looking up. Gone.
Pagan to deep right field. It's gone.
That's back. Gone.
That's his 11th of the year, and that's the fifth run here in the eighth. It's 13-8. Tap to third, and that's the ball game. So game one in this three-game series goes to the Phillies.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down.
6:17. Upside down is right. Phillies over the Giants, 13-8 at Citizens Ballpark. The Giants now 4-12 since the break, and the starters have given up 22 bombs during that 16-game span. Madison Bumgarner last night, 5 innings, 10 hits, gave up 8 runs, 4 earned. Joe, what is up with the pitching, my friend? Not good. And you're darn Phillies.
You go up against an elite lineup, you're going to, I don't care who you are and how many World Series you may have won, you're going to struggle against guys like Mikel Franco, Tommy Joseph, variety of other individuals who either haven't played this year or no one knows who the hell they are. I mean, you had guys practically hitting for the cycle yesterday. Jokes aside, this was a rather exciting game. I love these giant games that are on the East Coast. And I that probably only pertains to us because we work mornings.
Yeah.
So we're available like right when these things get started at 4 o'clock. But I love that concept. 4 o'clock into the early evening for these games. And that one, you fall behind, what, 6-0. Crawford ignites a bit of a comeback there in the fifth with the big home run. I mean, he hadn't hit one since July 8th. Moonshot to right field. Next inning, they come back. Crawford again. Brandon Belt with the 3-run shot. You tie the game up at 6. And you're sitting there thinking, you know, however this plays out, you know, 162-game schedule, this is going to be a fun game. And the Giants were just scratching and clawing the whole way. And welcome to San Francisco, Will Smith, who fit right in based on the way things have gone for this bullpen this year. Comes out in the eighth, struggles. What was it, a strikeout, then a infield single, then a double. He's yanked, Romo's in. And before you know it, the game gets out of hand, and the Giants lose their 12th of 16 since the All-Star break. Exhilarating game. Bumgarner, I think if Nunez doesn't commit the error that leads to 4 unearned, Bumgarner's day goes a little bit better. That looked to rattle him a bit. And you could see that the residual effects from that air and that inning stuck with him. He tried to battle back from it, but overall it wasn't a very solid performance based on his standards. But you got to look into that stat line. He's not charged with all those runs. Nunez makes that play at third. And again, now this peels back into the, well, he hits 300. He's effective on the base pass. He brings a new dimension for speed. But defensively, the downgrade from Duffy was a very solid defensive third baseman. And yesterday that cost the Giants in a big way.
And, Lowe, can you imagine Will Smith? He gets there about 90 minutes before game time. He said he tried to remember as many names and faces as he could, and next thing he knows, he's out there on the bump in the eighth with Buster Posey getting his first action with the Giants. He took the blame and said, that was on me. I told them I was ready to go, but I appreciate the fact that he was willing to step up. But 90 minutes before game time, that's rough.
Yeah, it's really rough. It's really rough, and it showed. And Madison, you know, bottom line, he didn't pitch well. your ace didn't pitch well. Madison Baumgartner is one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. We understand what he's been able to do in his career, but he had a bad day. And, yeah, it was some errors there by some other guys, but Madison did not have, you know, first couple innings was okay, but after that he got rocked. He got shelled, and so I think this team has to bounce back. They understand that, but they made it a dogfight. They end up tying the thing up 6-6. Brandon hits the, you know, double and you know, bring some guys in. So they had some guys and had some opportunities to be in that game, had it tied up. It got even tied it back up at 8-8. So it's just one of those games, man, got away from them. They got to bounce back. They got the weapons. They got some talent. They got to get this thing fixed. I don't know what it is, but right now this is a tell of two halves. For the All-Star game, this is the hottest team in baseball. And right now, this is one of the, if not the worst team in baseball right now, playing like.
Do you think that Bochy perhaps made a mistake going with Will Smith instead of Javi Lopez in that situation? Not a crucial error, but let me throw this out there. These guys, all we ever hear about with baseball is they're creatures of habit. You've got to pitch every 5 days. You have very particular routines. It's tough to keep guys in the batter's box because after a pitch, they like to step out, redo the batting gloves, get the pine tar from the helmet. It's a sport where every guy has his little superstitions and his routines. And I understand that because it's not a free-flowing game like basketball. It's not as an intense, in-the-moment game like football. And again, when it comes to free-flowing, it's not like hockey either. It's a lot of interaction, stop, interaction, stop, interaction, stop. So everyone kind of has their routine they need to get into. For a guy to arrive in Philadelphia at 6, not know anybody, not know the locker room, not know what he's wearing, not have any idea what his role is going to be. I mean, this is a whirlwind where you're flying in, you're not on your typical routine. Who knows if you've eaten the way you normally eat? Who knows if you get the warm-up you normally get? And then you're thrown in there in a pretty high-leverage situation.
You answer your question, yes. Skipper missed this one.
Go with Lopez, right?
Go with Lopez.
Okay.
Go with the guy that's already been traveling with the team. Go with the guy who's already been in the rotation, already been going. And sit back and let Hill watch. Let Will Smith, let him watch the way the Giants do things. That would have been a night that he could have just came out to the ballpark. You know that he's got his cell phone. He just got finished talking to agents, his wife, his family, all the different things that's going on. He's got a sea bag. He's got a bag. He's not really even acclimated today. Without a doubt.
What's a sea bag?
Oh, it just means your bag, just like your tote bag.
Just like a travel weekend
travel bag. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm learning.
No,
I'm just trying to learn.
What did Bochy call it?
Keep dropping it. Just keep dropping.
After the game, Bochy said that Smith had buzzard's luck for the way things went down last night. I think he would have probably appreciated maybe a little more time to settle in. But the big news.
Or perhaps to talk with Buster Posey about maybe, hey, nice to meet you. This is kind of how I do things.
Yeah.
How do you do things?
No. At least to say hi and make sure his name's Buster before you go out on the bomb.
Yeah, like step the toes into the water a little bit. I mean, this is a long season. Let the guy acclimate himself a bit.
Well, the big news yesterday, guys, Jake Peavy was pulled from the rotation in order to make room for the newly acquired Matt Moore. Samardzija, Jeff Samardzija will go to the fourth spot. Matt Cain, not Jake Peavy, will be the number five starter. And Bruce Bochy said Peavy handled the news well. And in response, Jake Peavy said this, and Joe, I know you'll appreciate this. On Grateful Dead night at Citizens Bank Park, Peavy said he was too grateful to be hateful.
He knows his role. That was the big takeaway wasn't so much the decision, it was the Peavy reaction, understanding, quote, whatever I can do to help the team win. And that's how it's always been with this organization for the last few years. This is a veteran who only once in his career before, I believe, when he was with the White Sox, was moved to the bullpen. So he understood. The writing was on the wall, too. He's been given every opportunity, and there's been struggles. I was surprised. Lo, you called it. You were the one that said it would be Cain that stayed. I thought would be Peavy. A bit off guard by this, but apparently Cain is trending more in the right direction. I think it's still a struggle with either guy, to be honest with you.
Hey, Lo, what's that like for a veteran? And you know Jake Peavy, and I know that you really appreciate him. He's a proud guy. He's had a great career. How hard is it for a veteran with that much stature to get that news from the boss that, hey, we need you to step back and take a different role?
I don't think it's hard. I think he understands. He's not a fool. He knows his game's struggling. He just wants to win. If they ask him to go pitch five innings, he's going to go out there and give everything he's got. If they ask him to try to say six innings, Jake is going to go out there and battle, fight, scratch. That's just who he is. That's his makeup. He's a guy that plays with emotions. So if the guy understands he's getting older and he's frustrated, he knows he's got to be perfect. And so he's not. I don't think he's disappointed. Of course he's disappointed, but he's not upset with this. That's why he wants to win. But the biggest thing is, I even talked about yesterday, Samardzija's struggle. We talked about the finance. What he moved to four. Would he not stay at three? Is he good enough? So right now, I think that Bolch is, there's a shakeup.
There's no reason for PV to get too worked up about it because, by all accounts, he's going to end up back in the rotation at some point anyway.
Absolutely.
Due to any number of variety of things that could happen. Interesting that Matt Moore is going to slide into the three spot. Now, from a strategic perspective, it gives you the opportunity to go left, right, left, right. So you have a little bit more balance there with your top four guys in rotation. But sticking with the whole trending upwards situation that we heard with Kane over Peavy, Moore over his last nine starts has a sub-2.5 ERA. He has been coming on very strong. Seven of his last nine starts, two or fewer earned runs. Don't look at his overall record. Don't look at his ERA. He's been much better over the last month and a half of the season, whereas Samardzija trending in the opposite direction.
This move didn't surprise me either. Call this one too.
Johnny Cueto will get the go.
He's been calling everything lately. Why don't you call out who's going to win the World Series?
No,
let's make a little money.
I can't go that far, but I did call.
You like Cleveland before the season started, so if they win, I mean, that's an even more impressive thing. But you've been relatively hot lately.
I appreciate it, Joe.
Staggering to me.
Thank you.
Well, Johnny Cueto will get the go for the Giants tonight.
Cueto.
That first pitch coming just after 4. You can catch it on CSN Bay Area. Well, ESPN has got their all-time top 25 out for college football teams. They made one big mistake, and we can't wait to tell you what that is next. 627, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
632, ESPN has got a piece out, and I've posted it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/957TheGame. The top 25 college football teams of all time. And the Associated Press, they've been ranking teams for the last 80 seasons. And for the first time since the first poll in 36, the AP has compiled an all-time top 100 based on a formula that counts poll appearances, 1 point, to mark consistency. Number one rankings, 1 bonus point to acknowledge the elite programs, and a bonus for AP championships, won an additional 10 points. Now, here's your top five and low. Tell me what jumps out here. Number one, Ohio State. Number two, Oklahoma. Number three, Notre Dame. Number four, Alabama. And number five, Southern California. What stands out to you on that list of the top 25 college football teams of all time?
Those are some good ones, man. I remember those Sooner days.
Before you even jump in, aren't you just drooling now that college football is right around the corner?
Yes.
God, I love this.
I mean, it's unreal, man. College football is one of the pure sports. Just to watch these young – it's always something so exciting. You're never going to be bored with a game. It's just amazing. The Sooners, to me, were a team that I just loved watching up growing. It depends on what era you're in, too, because I remember it was Sooner born, Sooner bred, going to be the Sooner to the day I'm dead. I remember meeting with these guys and watching these Sooners.
They recruited you.
Yeah.
I mean that. You turned down Barry Switzer.
I mean, Barry and the guys. I mean, that team, Rozier and all the guys they had.
Too much for a young country boy to go halfway across the country.
But go to the country, though. From country boy to going to the country. And then Nebraska.
Now, from Fresno to Fresno isn't exactly a huge step outside your sphere.
We got a lot of corn out there in Fresno.
That's true.
Central Valley. And then you got the Cornhuskers, man. Nebraska, I mean, Tom Osborne. I mean, Nebraska used to be a freaking powerhouse. And
they're six on the list.
See, Nebraska's in there. And then SC. I mean, SC's always had some rich tradition. SC and Notre Dame's got to be on there. I kind of like their top five. I know a lot of the younger generation's going to talk about Alabama, SEC football. We get that Alabama's still tough, but hey, I like it. I like this list.
Let's start with what needs to be said in all these situations.
Yeah.
This is a list. It's great for debate.
Yeah.
There is going to be an unbelievable amount of complaining that goes on with something like this and criticism. The AP did the best they could to give you their top 25 all time, right? But no matter what, people are going to complain. If you've ever been on the other side of creating one of these lists, you know no matter what, you can't please all the people all the time. So let's acknowledge the fact that they put in some hard work here before we jump into the bashing, because that's exactly what I'm going to do.
You think?
The biggest problem of this entire list is the fact that at number 13, you have the Miami Hurricanes. Mm. Now, this is supposed to be an all-time sort of situation, dating back 100 years. And that's why you would have a school like Michigan at 7. Michigan's only ever won 2 national titles. The last one came in 1997. But Michigan has been historic for a very long time. They had great rivalries with Notre Dame going back to an era before our parents were even born.
True.
So Michigan has just been I think they might have more wins than any team in collegiate football history. So that's why you see them at 7.
And that's why you see Miami at 13, because their window of success is much, much smaller. But that window was more impactful than any window that's ever occurred in college football history, in my opinion. What Miami did from the early to mid-80s into the late 90s and early 2000s is unrivaled by anything any program has ever done in history. Miami doesn't need to be number one, but Miami at 13 is laughable. Laughable. And anyone that's in my age range is going to completely agree. The Hurricanes were college football. The Hurricanes changed college football. The Hurricanes were the reason the SEC is why the SEC is the power they are today. Because they showed you, you've got talent in your own backyard. You don't need to worry about going that far. Schnellenberger put a big map of the state of Florida up on the board for all his assistant coaches when he took over at Miami in the late 70s, early 80s. And he started this whole thing. And he walks up to the map and he takes a marker. And around the central part of Florida where Tampa Bay is, he draws a line directly across. And he looks at his assistants and he says, everything south of this line is ours. We're not going north of that. We don't need to worry about Georgia or Texas or anything. There is enough talent in Miami. There's enough talent in southern Florida that we will win just by recruiting well in our own backyard. So they focused their efforts on that.
Boy, did
and
they.
A dynasty that spanned over two decades was born. To put them at 13 is absolutely atrocious. Because if you want to make the case that it's all about longevity, Notre Dame shouldn't be three. Notre Dame should be one. Ohio State is not number one if we want to talk longevity. Notre Dame, going back to Newt Rockne and everything they've done, it might not have been recent.
Sure.
But if we're going to look at the grand scheme of things, sure. It's Notre Dame and their eight titles.
Miami, five AP national championships, 83, 87, 89, 91, and 2001. And not to mention the wealth of talent they've contributed to the NFL. We've done that before. In pre-show meetings, we've gone over some of the names that Miami has put in. You'll forget about some of the great players. It's incredible.
13 is appalling because you're behind Florida State, you're behind Florida, you're behind LSU, you're behind Penn State, who's 12. And I know Penn State beat them for that national title back in the 80s, but Penn State's got two national titles. Quite frankly, you know, it was a long duration of impressive success, but what Miami did in a short period of time, they deserve it. They deserve to be a lot higher than they are. Low, I went further down the list and I started digging. And you know what I found?
Fresno State.
I did not find Fresno anywhere. And this goes all the way through.
Anna, why are you laughing, Anna?
This goes through 99 teams. 99 teams. Fresno was behind Bowling Green, Nevada, William & Mary.
Wow.
Something called Iowa Pre-Flight, Duquesne, Villanova, 95.
I don't want to hear anymore.
But more importantly,
what about Little
Love? I was thinking about Little Love.
Yeah.
And Purdue, even though they've fallen on hard times recently until the acquisition of Little O'Neal, they're 36.
36, baby.
36 for Purdue.
You know what? 36, they might not be in the top 10 in that, but I'll tell you right now, education up there. I just received a letter in talking about the tuition and what Lowe's scholarship and what's it worth a year. Take a guess how much you think. State school, what do you think for Purdue?
Well, he's on a full ride, but they're sending you a letter anyway to let you know what it would cost.
Yeah, every year, what it would cost every year.
$20,000.
Purdue's a state school. Yeah. He's out of state, but Purdue's a state school.
Yeah, I'd say about $18,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, Penn State was like 10 when I was there.
Yeah. How about $55,000?
That's ridiculous.
For all 4 years?
No.
For one.
1 year. $55,000.
Shut your mouth.
His mom sent me a text and
In Indiana.
To live in Indiana, go to Purdue.
Damon Bruce is from Indiana.
Yeah.
Left Indiana. That tells you everything you need to know about Indiana.
Anna, $55,000. You guys have, Joe, one day you'll have kids.
That's a house in Fresno.
It is. $55,000.
That is Fresno. You can buy Fresno for $55,000.
$220,000 a year for 4 years. Think about, I look at this and I'm like, thank guys got a scholarship, but just think, how as Americans, how do you save that kind of money for your kid? And if you have more than one, $55,000.
Maybe they don't want people to go to college anymore.
You know what? This does highlight a significant problem because there's one of two sets of people that are going to really take a hit here. The parents who have to find a way to scratch together over $200,000 for a good education. Do not get me wrong, but it's still a state school coming from out of state, $55,000 a year. This is before living expenses, food. I mean, once they eventually move off campus, you got to deal with rent, utilities, car, all that stuff. So a parent right now, if you've got Anna, how old's Dean?
Dean's Dean is 3.5.
So if you're thinking about Dean wanting to go to Purdue, $55K a year times four, assuming the kid can get done in 4 years, you're going to be over $200K, but you're still 15 years away. In 15 years' time, that's probably going to double. So you're talking about $400K for an undergraduate degree that I don't know about you guys, but I'm not really putting political science to use right now, or to good use anyway.
Neither am I.
I just think of graduating in 4 years. I had to take 18 units, two semesters, in order to graduate in 4 years.
I transferred. I had to do something similar. Yeah. That's a lot of kids can't do that. No. It's a heavy workload. So it's either on the parents or it's on the kid who, in exchange for getting the education, is going to be so burdened with debt that they're never going to be able to climb out from under that. $200K in debt just to have an undergraduate degree, which all that really does is put you on par with, I don't know, 10 million other kids coming out.
Right.
Can you pass the roll aids? I don't like this discussion because I'm going to have to begin my life of crime now just to fund my kids through college.
That's an insane amount of money.
It's really, when you think about just the average American, that, you know, a wife and a husband making $50,000 a year, and, you know, that's $100,000. You know, after you got to realize there's taxes, 27% and all this stuff. So out of that $100,000, they're bringing home maybe, what, 68, 70, maybe. And then let's just talk about $1,000 a month for rent. Let's talk about car, another $500.
You know what? I don't want to talk about it. How about that? I don't want to talk about it.
You want to hear crazy?
That rent's not right.
I am paying more for my son in preschool right now a year than I paid a year of tuition at San Francisco State.
Told you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get those tubes tied. I gotta cut off all circulation to you know what.
Did you just say that?
Speaking of no circulation, from the 415, Miami was elite for less than 20 years. This is a stupid argument, but you're a Penn State alum, so it's to be expected. Jason in San Anselmo, who's a Michigan alum, congratulations, in 110 years, you've achieved 40% of what Miami achieved in 20 years. So what does that say about you? Egg shoe, beat it. Miami at 13, there is no defending that. Miami is the greatest college football program of all time. I'm not saying rank them number one on this list, but to have them 13th behind Florida State, behind Penn State, come on now. That 20 years is worth more than what a lot of schools have done over 50, 60, 70 years. That Miami program, that changed the game. Everything changed with that. They changed recruiting. They changed everything. Miami was nothing. No one even knew Miami existed. Small private school at the southern tip of Florida. They didn't exist in the realm of collegiate sports until Schnellenberger came along. I don't care if it wasn't over the stretch of 100 years. You're much better than the 13th best team of all time.
Bernie Kosar, Jim Kelly, Vinny Testaverde, Steve Walsh, just some of the guys that dominated the college ranks for those guys.
They changed everything. They changed everything. And if the argument's duration, then Notre Dame needs to be higher than 3. I'm sorry. I don't agree with Ohio State number 1
either.
They're
the most storied program.
Right. If you're going to do it based on duration, Notre Dame is your number one team. And Army should be a lot higher as well. They're down in the 50s.
Now, if you say, I think that the question should be stated different. If you say the greatest team of all time in a short amount of duration, and you know, it's Miami. You can't even compare it. If you just say in the shortest, who did it the quickest in that time? Miami. But I think this poll is over. That's why it's talking about the longevity of, so, you know, talking about over the last 100 years. So, but if you're just talking about the greatest and the quickest and how dominant Miami, just Florida, Miami, and also Florida State, the way they did that in that 20-year span, I don't think no one did it better.
Text line is trying to tell me Purdue is a private school. Purdue University is a land-grant public university established in 1867. It serves about 38,000 students on the West Lafayette campus, and its overall enrollment is about 69,000 students. So can we please put that to bed?
The text line, you can reach out to us on the PenskeyAutoSales.com text line.
You know what? How about this? Don't reach out to us. Enough of the text line today.
95795. We want to know from you, like, how much debt are you dealing with your college tuition? And if you have thoughts on how you're planning to pay for or how you are paying for your education or your children's education, reach out to us at 95795. We'll have more on college sports and this top 25 all-time ranking from ESPN coming up at 8 o'clock. Here's a question for you. Do fans have an obligation to get out of the way in a game? We'll tell you what that means next. 645, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
648. Checking the PenskeyAutoSales.com text line. Hey, Joe, this person can relate to us because we both have political science degrees. I paid $160,000 for a worthless political science degree at Santa Clara University. I'm 31, living with my parents.
Yeah. Well, and that's the biggest problem. When Lowe's talking about $55K a year at Purdue, college is where people go to find themselves. Mm-hmm. You can't bank on the fact that you're going to send a child to college and from freshman year semester one through 4 years, which how many kids are in school for like five now? Let's be honest, because there's a little screwing around and whatnot. Yeah. You can't bank on that child to know exactly what they want to do for the rest of their life, get into the major that achieves that mission, and then sticks with it the whole way through. And then when they're done, they're happy with it, they apply it to that field, and they move on. It's very, very rare.
I changed my major three times.
Three times? Mm-hmm. What did you start with?
Started with poli-sci. And then
it's a good one.
And then went into film, and then went into broadcasting. It was along the same lines.
You were really just bouncing around all that
I wanted to double major originally.
No economics or...
No, I originally wanted to go with poli-sci and film. I wanted to double major and then all of a sudden realized that that's not happening.
Hey, Lo, what would you be?
Give me the best text that you had about the one that called you and said, well, that I thought was best and said...
Bunch of suckers on this text line today with all their comments.
I don't want to talk about, please don't talk about
that. Oh, yeah. man, they're really pouring in. 95795.
I don't know.
Whatever it was, someone was... Look, I listened... here it is. 415. Excuse me, guys, but we listen to talk radio to forget about our financial problems. So can we move on to another subject? Thanks so much.
Fair point. What was your plan to be? What did you want to be if NFL wasn't on the table for you?
Well, I think just like you guys majored in something. You're not doing it. So why'd you go spend the money to do it? So it's crazy. But mine, it was criminal justice.
Was it necessary to say that?
Well, because it's
it feels like there's not a natural. It feels like there's not a natural transition coming. No, it just feels like you guys screwed up. You know, I'm such a great athlete. I didn't have to worry about that.
No, it just goes to show you sometimes we spend all this money thinking we're going to go somewhere, and we don't, and we get off because something that we end up finding our heart and our desires elsewhere. I tell people all the time, and I'll get back to where the original question you asked, Chad. I think from 18 to 25, usually people are in college finding out what they want to do. From 25 to 30, you're in and out of jobs, trying to find what job you really want. From 30 to 40, you usually find your profession that you're in. From 40 to 50 is usually your money-making years, where that's where you put money away. You start establishing things, establishing who you are from 40 to 50. And usually at 50, you usually invest. Maybe it's a house or it's a second house, a second home. And that's because you know that you want to make sure you have money for your retirement, your twilight years. So those are things. That's the kind of the process that I kind of infuse into people, kind of tell them that's kind of my way of thinking. But for me, it was in criminal justice. I love people. So I was going to go group homes. I actually had a group home when I graduated from college that I was group homes where I was working with the Lincolns, working for kids that are in trouble, troubled kids. I had one in Fresno, me and my buddy Chris Tolbert. So I was involved in that, and I still active and get involved in community. I would be a server. I think that I'm about serving people and serving kids who are at risk and serving a population that needs more leadership in it. So that's kind of my thought process of where I would have been if I wasn't playing ball.
My parents lived in a
trailer.
Is that
nice, Joe? What'd you think about that?
That's good.
You were two sentences from the end, and I'm like, if this guy does not answer that original question, turn off that microphone. But you did. You put some form of bow on it and did wrap it up. It was very nice.
Thank you.
My mom and dad lived in a single wide outside of Stillwater as my dad was finishing grad school. My mom cut hair just to help get them through that process, and she said they ate a lot of pork and beans. You know, there wasn't a lot of food to go around. It was a rough time.
Hey, we ate Top Roman. We had that government cheese. Bro, I know what it's like.
Here's something profound from the 408. When going to a state school from out of state, you do not qualify for in-state tuition, which basically makes it a private school in regards to tuition.
Wow.
That's it. There we go. So you're telling me if I go to a school in a different state, I don't get in-state tuition. Okay. we're really off and running here today.
The one text was great. He said he and his wife's going to sell their house here in the Bay. Raider Gonzalez and move to Fresno because it's cheaper and put their kids in school. That's what parents do. The sacrifice you do for your kids.
Imagine being a parent in Nevada. People I knew there who had kids, older guys in the business who had kids that were coming up. You got two options, Vegas and Reno. Those aren't great schools.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go to Vegas if you want to get into hospitality and stay in Vegas, but you got to get out. So where do they go? They all look to California. Boom. Mm. That's going to cost a pretty penny.
Now, Lo, you've put in a lot of time in terms of preparing for your future, and this started at a young age. You learned that from your father. what was your plan to get your kids through college? Because you didn't know at a young age whether or not they get full scholarship rides.
No, I didn't. For me, from a small town, small community, man, we love, you got to realize, we would go play football barefoot. We'd go out in the front yard, had a big field and play ball and play sports. So I always had ambitions to play football, and it was a dream. And my dreams, thank God, became reality. In eighth grade, we had our time capsule, and our time capsule, you write down what you want to do, and you have to come back home. I said I wanted to go play for Nebraska, and had a scholarship to Nebraska. So it's interesting how you as a kid, you put down some of your dreams and goals, and how you see if you make those, you see if you reach those. So for me, it was just always about trying to get in and understanding hard work. And I think that every American want their kid to go to college. They want them to play sports. They want them to do well. And every parent wish their kid get a scholarship because it makes their life a lot easier. So this conversation is not trying to turn into, you know, the doom and gloom, because everyone knows this is sports radio.
We're all in it.
We're in it. This is real life. And for me, it's,
this is life radio. Coming from four people who have very little perspective on life.
There's no question. Now, Joe, are you
Anna, the film major. Right. Anna, the film major over there.
I wanted to be a director. I was ready to go to Hollywood and go become a director.
Oh, what kind of film you're making?
Regular films. No Drezilla.
Oh, that's so rude.
We were on Drezilla yesterday.
Anna's always on your team. That's rude to do that to her. She always has your back.
Was that a bad one? I didn't know.
You knew what you were saying.
Was that bad?
You knew what you were saying.
You can't say that.
I want an Academy Award.
Guys, I don't understand why you're coming down on me. Right.
What shot the wall can mean a lot of things, guys.
Can we get to some sports talk, please, radio? Anna, don't let them get put away.
From the 707, is this sports talk or financial advising talk? You're all stressing me out. Talk about chicks, beer, and sports.
I like that.
If I talk about chicks, I'm sexist. If I talk about beer, I'm an alcoholic. If I talk about sports, I'm a hater.
That was a good text. We love them. Keep them coming. Keep them coming.
University of Nevada and UNLV each have high-ranking medical schools.
Seriously.
So what are you smoking, Joe? Nevada's engineering school is considered top 20 in the nation. All right. Yeah, that's it. I hear about all those famous surgeons coming out of Las Vegas.
95.7 The Game is live from Raiders Camp in Napa all week. You can tune in for behind-the-scenes coverage and everything you need to know about your silver and black this season. 95.7 The Game's coverage of Raiders training camp is brought to you by Hayward Tire Pros. Well, one player in the NFC West just got a new deal, and it could mean bad things for the 49ers. We'll tell you what that means next. 656, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
Sports!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.